You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
It's already been an unforgettable NFL Sunday, and we're not even to halftime of the afternoon games yet. Already today, Justin Tucker made a 66-yarder for the Ravens to walk off the Lions, and that's the longest field goal in NFL history. And Jamal Agnew of the Jags returned a missed 68-yard field goal attempt by Arizona's Matt Prater. Jamal Agnew returned that miss 109 yards, and that's the longest play in NFL history, and that's one that will never be broken. Whitey Gleason, Shamari Block with you on 95.7 The Game as we get ready for the 49ers and the Packers tonight. And to help us do that, nice enough to join us once again, Cron Sports reporter and anchor, the one and only Kylan Mills. And Kylan, how's your day going, and how are you keeping track of everything going on today?
Thanks for having me on, you guys. So I like have the very rare opportunity where I am off today, which is, as you know, in sports journalism, never happens. We have three TVs set up right now in my house. We just started grilling. We've got Red Zone on one TV. We've got the Vikings game on another TV. Like, it has been a crazy day in football, and we're trying to keep track of all of it. So it's been fun to watch. But you know, the marquee matchup, 49ers-Packers, is what we're all waiting for.
Let me ask you, Kylan, about job one. Job one for the 49ers, we know it's always run the ball. So how hard do you think it's going to be for them to do that with three or four of their top backs out?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the big question mark, what we're all going to be watching. So surprisingly, Trey Sermon is going to be RB1 today for the 49ers. And you look a few weeks back, I don't think anyone would have anticipated that. But here we are, you know. Even earlier this week, he was a question mark after the poor guy. We saw him in his first play in the NFL last week just get absolutely clobbered. But he's back from concussion protocol, and we're just going to have to see what he can do. Honestly, though, I would love to see Trey Lance get into this game, you guys, because realistically, he's probably the best guy the 49ers have on the ground right now. And if the 49ers don't have the threat of the run game, this offense is not going to be successful. We know that Kyle Shanahan loves the RPO, and you have to really be able to run the ball. So I don't know how he's going to pull that off. RB2 today is Kerryon Johnson. He was just pulled up from the practice squad. So they're very thin at the running back position. This is going to be a challenge. I think you use Trey Lance, throw him in for some packages on the ground, and keep this Packers defense honest.
Oh, wow. So Trey Sermon's finally in the starting lineup after I traded him last week after one carry in 2 weeks. Perfect.
Right.
Perfect. Okay.
Right. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. So, Kylan, when you talk about the missing running game, do you feel that Trey Lance maybe as a passer also can impact this game, because he can't throw outside the numbers, and it's not just going to be a screen and sort of low crossing sort of route sort of thing with Trey. We can move the ball down the field and threaten and create some space for the running backs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, that's why you'd love to see, like I said, I would love to see Trey Lance get some packages in this game because also of his deep ball threat. And like you just said, not as many crossing routes, not as many short routes maybe, but if you can send a bomb down the field potentially from him, I mean, he's the guy you want in the game in that type of scenario, not Jimmy Garoppolo at the end of the day. Jimmy did a good job managing the game last week, but again, if we're thin at the running back position, I think that Trey Lance is just going to be so much more of a threat both on the ground and then again in the air.
Yeah, I see it that way too, Kylan. Kylan Mills with us, Cron Sports reporter and anchor. NFL Media today reported that the 49ers were Aaron Rodgers' first choice this offseason if he was going to get traded. Kylan, what's your reaction to that on a scale of 0 to 10? 0 would be duh. 10 would be, oh, this is a blockbuster. What's your reaction on that scale to this quote-unquote news today?
I mean, that is doesn't come as a huge shock to me with him being a Cal guy and a Southern California native. I mean, I think that a lot of 49ers Twitter was hoping that we'd get Aaron Rodgers in this offseason. Yeah, it would have been a blockbuster, but to be honest, after seeing Aaron Rodgers, he was not his usual self in week one, a little bit better last week, but to me, he's in the twilight of his career. And what we have with Trey Lance and the 49ers, I think, made the right decision in trading up to get him at number three. Trey Lance has the potential to be the next Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he has the potential to be a star in this league. And I think if you're looking at the future, like, I'm happy with where the 49ers are at right now, because to me, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is ready to run off into the sunset with Shailene Woodley, to be honest. So, you know, I think when we want to look at the future of this organization, that's Trey Lance. That's not going to be an Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, Colin, so when you talk about starting Trey Lance, one thing people would point to is he's a rookie. He's not ready. Then you look at what Justin Fields did today and Trevor Lawrence so far and Zach Wilson, and some people get a little like, oh, I don't know if we want that here. What would you tell those people out there that are like, oh, a rookie can't make things happen, and relative to his peers? Like, you know, what would you say to the, well, rookies can't play well in the NFL?
I mean, I think that that's just kind of an age-old adage that not necessarily applies to everyone. I mean, I understand the history there that a rookie has never led a team to the Super Bowl, but there hasn't been a Trey Lance yet in the league, and that's all I'm going to say. I mean, Justin Fields, I don't think that any part of the Bears' lack of success today was because of him. The offensive line was just atrocious. So you can get a lot into some of the you know, particulars as to some of the rookies that we're seeing across the league that are starting. But I just think that the 49ers have all the other pieces there. This defense is going to be dominant. If the offensive line plays like it's been playing, that piece is there. Trey Lance has so many weapons at his disposal. Why would we let that sit on the bench? Like, to me, that just doesn't sit right with me. I understand the argument, and if you look at the history, but at the same time, how do you have one of your best offensive threats on the bench all game? Like, it's just kind of hard to wrap your mind around.
Kylan, I want to give you a little glimpse behind the curtain here. Shamari is my guy, and Shamari and I are from the same town. We went to the same high school. We're not necessarily in lockstep on Jimmy G and Trey Lance, though. In fact, we established today the over-under for the whole show on how many nice things Shamari would say about Jimmy G. The over-under for the whole show was 5.5, and so far I hadn't said anything. We're more than an hour into the show.
I said two. I said he's a good team player. That's two.
Okay. Well, all that's it. And he said something about, oh, he's nice teeth, and we didn't count that. But here's my Jimmy G question for you. Jimmy G, in all fairness, and again, I understand where Shamari is coming from, Jimmy G has never gone three straight games without throwing an interception. Can he do that for the first time? Can he go pickless tonight against Green Bay?
So I think that matchup is in his favor just because this Green Bay defense is not great. I mean, it is what it is. I think that if there was a matchup that was going to be in Jimmy G's favor, it would be today. I think that there is the possibility that he could not throw an interception. But like I said, I think that Green Bay defense, then that does to Jimmy G's talents and abilities. I hate to say it.
So what you're saying is that he might throw one and they're not going to catch it. That's a scenario I see that happening. Thank you. That's what I see.
You know, right between the lines. Yeah.
No. So when you look at this game from the defensive aspect of it, and Aaron Rodgers getting to Aaron Rodgers before he can throw the football is the only way to stop him. This dude gets a football off, and it's usually bad news for your defense. And they're down a starting left tackle, and they're actually on a third string tackle. Do you see this defensive line, which I don't feel is as good as 2019, but I feel it's really good. Do you think that this defensive line can turn into performance like it did twice against Aaron Rodgers in 2019?
Right. You know, I think they have the potential. You just mentioned that left tackle position. I mean, they need to absolutely try to hammer home the mismatch there and take advantage of that. I mean, I actually talked to defensive lineman DJ Jones this week out at practice, and I asked him what they need to do to be successful, just like in 2019. He just said, pressure, pressure, pressure. He said, we have the potential, once again, to be a great pass rush team. I feel like the 49ers have kind of developed this reputation, maybe not quite at the level they were in 2019, But Nick Bosa is looking like his 2019 self, and that right there is a great threat. I also look for D Ford to lead the charge a little bit. But I think they do have the potential, but that, I think, is going to be one of the keys to winning this game. I mean, the 49ers defense is going to have to come out and shut down Aaron Rodgers and be dominant. And absolutely, like you just said, that comes with just pressuring him and not letting him get balls out easily.
All right, Kylan, one more, if we could, before we let you go. I'm actually going to squeeze two in here. If you had to pick one 49er, if you had to pick one 49er to have a huge game tonight, who you got? And if I were to guess that you're having shrimp, that shrimp is part of your barbecue, would I be right?
What would make you say shrimp? You guys know shrimp is not part of my barbecue. I just want to address that first.
Okay, all right. All right, I'm sorry.
No shrimp on the Barbie?
No shrimp on the Barbie. What do you think this is? We got some good old-fashioned burgers, some dogs, and also I've got a friend who just came over with some taco mix, so I guess we're going to be doing some type of taco shenanigans.
Wow. I was way off. The shrimp then is way, way off. Yeah.
Wow.
So when it comes to a player, though, having a big performance, I really, really, really would love to see that from Trey Sermon. I think that the run game is going to be the key to the 49ers' victory today. Like I said, for Kyle Shanahan's offense to be successful, they have to have a threat on the ground. I don't know that what I'd like to see with Trey Lance being out there was going to happen realistically. I know they're trying to be cautious with him. They're not trying to rush him. We saw last week, Kyle Shanahan went on and on. I'm confident Jimmy G, you know, with the way the game is going. So I don't feel confident they're going to throw the Trey Lance thing I'd like to see out there. But if Trey Sermon came out and was dominant, I mean, I think that would equal a 49ers win.
All right. Kylan Mills, check her out, Grand Sports Reporter and Anchor. We appreciate your time, especially when you're having some downtime today. So thank you, Kylan. Enjoy the game, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you guys for having me. I'll send some leftovers to the station for you.
Wonderful. Yeah. Appreciate that. Man, I was way off on the shrimp. Shamari, that was a bad – I was picking up kind of a shrimp vibe.
Have you ever barbecued? I can't say that I've ever had barbecued shrimp. I can't
many
say that
times.
I've ever, huh?
Many times. I have many, many times. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm a big brisket guy and a big tri-tip guy.
Some
okay?
serious sausage here, people.
And some serious sausage here. I was going to say, you know, none of the frankfurters, man, the kielbasa, the brats, the real things, right?
I'm with you on that.
But ribs are okay. Ribs are okay. I like the ribs, but I'm big on the tri-tip. And the brisket and the premium cuts of beef. That is my favorite thing. I haven't quite had the barbecued shrimp. So do you use some kind of special tray or something to do that? How does that work?
I just put them on skewers. But here's the thing, and I know nobody cares, but real quick, one of our daughters is a vegetarian, so she doesn't eat chicken, she doesn't eat beef, but she'll eat fish. So if she's here when we're barbecuing, shrimp is a really good alternative. And I just, you know, shrimp's really good.
But, I thoroughly enjoy shrimp. It never occurred, but the skewer, that makes perfect sense. It's like, oh, hey, stick a stick through.
We'll have you over. You'll see. We'll have you over. We'll have some for you. Yeah. So what do you think of Josh Norman tonight? What kind of a factor could he be? And can I ask you, if you had to pick one guy for the 49ers tonight to be a bust out guy, breakout guy, who would you like to see be that guy? Who do you think it could be?
I mean, seeing as how he's a starter running back, I'm with Kylan. If the Niners are going to win this game, the running game needs to be, they need to be able to run it 30 times. And if you run it 30 times, that means you have to get, you don't need to get a Raheem Mostert 10 yards of carry performance, but you need like five out of somebody. So I would agree, Trey Sermon, given that he doesn't really have much help. Right, because it's Trey Sermon, and I guess Elijah Mitchell's not in the mix, and
Kerryon Johnson has been pretty good, but I'm just wondering why no one has picked him up. I mean, if you just look at his numbers and what he's done as an NFL player with the Lions, like, well, that's not bad. But then, how come he hasn't signed with anybody before now? I'm not sure what to think of him, but I think considering where they've been, I think that's a pretty good pickup.
It is, but he's also been there 6 days, and running back is the most instinctive position in the NFL, which is to say that if anybody can come in after 6 days, you know, any position coming after 6 days and make an impact, it's a running back, definitely. Probably followed slightly by linebacker, because linebacker is read and react, right? But a running back can come in. But Trey Sermon's been there from the beginning. And if Kerryon Johnson gets more than 10 carries a day, it's because something went seriously wrong with Trey Sermon, the guy they drafted in the third round, who's been there the whole time, right? So this is a Trey Sermon game. It's his position to lose. And again, one carry in the first 2 weeks. I had him in two out of my three leagues. One carry the first 2 weeks. I trade him. I didn't even trade him, Whitey. I just let him go. And then boom. Oh, now he's going to be running back one in the most efficient running game in the history of the NFL. That's great. Great. That's wonderful. Yeah, no. But there's another Green Bay Packers player. And I'm not even talking about Devontae Adams yet, who represents a whole nother world of problems. But if you look at Aaron Jones did last week, that might be the scariest dude on the Packers roster right now outside of Aaron Rodgers.
I wouldn't disagree with that. Yeah, so it should be a lot of fun tonight. I still think things set up nicely for the 49ers, especially given that the Green Bay Packers are without Za'Darius Smith and they're down to their third-string left tackle, so a real mismatch waiting to happen there. Be nice to have a couple of your top running backs, but we'll see. And I'm not suggesting Kerryon Johnson is going to supplant your guy Trey Sermon. I know Trey Sermon's your guy. I'm just saying that's a nice depth piece, considering how desperate they've been for depth at the running back position with all the injuries, to get a guy like Kerryon Johnson. Like, okay, well, that's a pretty good pickup there. I want to share this with you, Shamari, about your guy, Trey Lance. And I don't think this is entirely fair, but this was ProFootballTalk.com, and this was Mike Florio wrote about this. I talked about this yesterday with Jason, and he is suggesting, as Mike Florio, who, by the way, appears to have a little bit of an axe to grind with Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo. And he asked the question, will Trey Lance play much or at all on Sunday night? Well, I don't know. We'll see, right? So Mike Florio suggests here, it's entirely possible that the two-quarterback system has been abandoned with a conscious decision to ride or die with Garoppolo. And he says there's the possibility, if not the likelihood, his words, that Lance has yet to impress. So Mike Florio kind of veering out of his lane to suggest, yeah, well, maybe it's possible, maybe even likely, that Trey Lance hasn't played because he really hasn't looked that good. I thought it was interesting that last week Kyle Shanahan came out, and maybe he was just asked about it. He spoke to how well Trey Lance is performing. But this is what I want you to know. I don't want you to hear it somewhere else. I want you to hear it from me, your friend. This is what some of the Trey Lance haters are saying. They're saying, you know what? He hasn't played that well. That's why he didn't play last week. He isn't playing very well, and the 49ers are a little disappointed in him.
I'll tell you this much, Whitey, and I don't know what's going on behind the scenes at 4949 DeBartolo Way. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes there. But I'll tell you this much, is that you give up three first-round picks for the right to trade up to draft somebody. You draft this guy third overall, and I don't feel that even if you wanted Jimmy Garoppolo to be your starting quarterback to start the season, I don't think you do that to sit a guy on the bench like that. And Mike Footman, listen, I was reading Pro Football Talk when Mike Florio was writing it in his basement, all right? So like, when it was just – Whitey, I literally, this dude was writing it in his basement. I remember when he fired his first writer, Michael David Smith, and, like, I had not written anything. I was like, hey, I think I'm going to write and see if I can write. Hell, you're in your basement. I'm in my basement. It's all good. No. So anyway, Mike Florio usually knows what he's talking about. Like, this dude does not really just say, you know, he doesn't say things haphazardly. He usually has a source. He has things. He's good at what he does. And I would say that one of the things about this season so far is that the quarterback situation in general doesn't make sense. It doesn't. The two quarterback system didn't make sense. The drafting of Trey Lance and then keeping Jimmy Garoppolo, that didn't make sense. Then having Jimmy Garoppolo being your starter, that doesn't make sense. Then abandoning the two quarterback system. And then the whole time, you have Kyle Shanahan sitting here saying, like talking in circles. Very, very circular. Nothing really. I'm not giving you anything. And there's part of it, Whitey, that's okay. Yeah, sure. I don't want to give up my competitive advantage, but I feel there's something that he's not telling us, right? There's something he doesn't say. And I know he goes on there and he says the right thing and he says everybody, but guess what? He said the right things about Dante Pettis until he didn't. And he's saying the right things about Brandon Ayuk right now, but something's going on there. And he said the right things about Trey Sermon, who's starting now, but clearly was in the doghouse. Now, I don't know if Brandon Ayuk and Trey Sermon and Trey Lance were all in the same doghouse to start the season. And maybe Trey Lance is still there and Trey Sermon's out of it just because of necessity. But it doesn't make sense. This quarterback situation and the moves and the way Kyle Shanahan has handled it so far has never made sense to me.
It makes perfect sense to me. And I don't think we can equate Ayuk and Sermon with Lance and say they're all in the doghouse. And, of course, I don't know. So maybe you're right. Obviously, we don't know. To me, it makes sense that if they did something that displeased the organization or the coach is going to deal with that at the same time. Out of respect to those players, he's not going to come forward publicly and say they miss curfew or what. And I don't know, but it would make sense to me that we would, okay, that's not our business. And it's the respectful way to handle it with the players to maybe not tell everybody what they did. And they'll have their opportunity to play their way out of it. As far as Trey Lance and the quarterback situation goes, I think they've handled it very well. I think for the most part, they've done, he's done, he being Kyle, what he said he would do. And they're 2-0, and there doesn't seem to be any sense of unease or any sense of, oh, who's the quarterback? There's a leadership void here. It looks like everything so far is working. I'll give you that. It's a, you know, they're kind of trying to thread the needle here, but for the most part, it's clear right now anyway, and this is what Kyle has said all along. Right now, Jimmy is a starter. How long will that continue? I don't know, but right now he's a starter. And I think that makes Jimmy better, and I think all the evidence suggests it's also making Trey Lance better. So when you're winning games, and I know we can quibble with how they've won, but at this point, you know, 2-0, you can't be better than that. How can you quibble with the way they've handled the quarterback situation? Garoppolo has put up good numbers. He's played well. Trey Lance, you know, he did throw a touchdown pass. I do think we're going to see more of Trey Lance tonight, though. Would that satisfy you if you see more of Trey Lance tonight?
I mean, maybe, yeah. I would like that. I want to see Trey Lance, not because I'm just like Jimmy G stinks. I feel Trey Lance, and it's not as a runner, it's as a passer, Whitey. I feel that Trey Lance, as a passer, maybe not necessarily as a reader of offenses or commanding the offense, but I feel as a downfield passer, Trey Lance is superior to Jimmy Garoppolo, and I feel you're going to need that tonight. I feel you're going to have to throw the ball down the field, and I feel that with those linebackers they have, because they have a couple of good read and react linebackers that kind of go sideline to sideline or good in coverage, there in Green Bay, I feel that you're not gonna be able to dump it off and get the yards that you're used to getting, even with Debo, even with Ayuk, even with Kittle. And I feel that to win this game, you're gonna have to throw over the defense a couple of times. And I don't know that Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy to get that happen. Man, the 510's chiming in. There was never a two quarterback system. Trey got a couple of snaps and everybody went crazy. Kyle Shanahan said in the press conference going in after the Raiders game that was going to be a thing. So it's not a two-quarterback system, but it is kind of expected, according to Kyle Shanahan, right, that he's going to get some play time, and he just didn't, quote-unquote, get him in that week. 415, or also from the 415, or are we trying to create value so we can get something back for trading Jimmy, man? So what do you think about this as a ploy to get a first round pick when somebody loses their quarterback?
Well, we'll continue the conversation in just a moment here. First, football season, of course, is tailgate season, and Elevate Your Tailgate is back this season, featuring the Morning Roast's Joe Shusky. And in the debut episode, Joe is joined by his co-host, Bonte Hill. Check out the latest episode on 957thegame.com and on the 95.7 The Game social channels. Elevate Your Tailgate is brought to you by Harris Ranch Beef. Legendary beef, legendary quality. Visit harrisranchbeef.com. And coming up, yes, which Trey will have the bigger day tonight? Sermon or Lance? That's next with Shamari Block. The block is hot today. And me, Whitey Gleason, on 957 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for making us part of your NFL Sunday, Whitey Gleason and Shamari Block. And Shamari, great to be with you again. Thank you for contributing yesterday. Jason and I were on the air, and we were talking about the most underrated quarterbacks of all time. Got a text from the 707 and the one and only Shamari Block. Thank you, Shamari. I think you mentioned Donovan McNabb, right? A guy that I had mentioned.
Oh, yeah. I brought up McNabb. I just tuned in. I didn't know you guys were like, wait, McNabb. Because I feel if McNabb wins a Super Bowl, he's a surefire Hall of Famer. I don't know that he gets in now, and that's a shame, man, because I when you talk about that era of quarterback, and he was up there. He was like a top five guy, man, by my estimation. I mean, obviously you had – because that was kind of before – well, not before. He was kind of was right about the same time that Brady and Manning came up. And Carson Palmer, for the early part of his career, he was one of those top guys, man. But you got Brady, you had Manning – and then, like, that next tier, Donovan McNabb was in that tier, man. He really was. And he went to four NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He was a system quarterback, Shamar. He's a system quarterback, number one.
What are the air yards, man?
I've made the case. I've done a 180 on Donovan McNabb because I've argued in the past, and this was years ago, I've argued that, I think he's a Hall of Famer. And I lost that argument, and I've finally come around here with the passage of time to realize pretty good quarterback, but and you said it yourself, probably not a Hall of Famer. He excelled at things like, you know, making sure the other team didn't catch the football. He really, you know, his interception percentage was very low, which is good.
Oh, yeah.
But he just never – yeah, you're going to – you know, quarterback gets the most credit when you win and the most blame when you don't. Fairly run fairly. And as you said, never won a Super Bowl and lost a lot of championship games.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah. No, and I don't think he gets in either, man. But I just – you know, he was one of those guys, man. And when you talk about that era, the early 2000s, right? Brady and Manning kind of own that era, and Brady's still, I guess, owning this one too. So whatever, right? And you had Carson Palmer. You had guys come like Dante Culpepper over a couple of seasons. By the way, Justin in Fairfax, I see you were going to get you. Dante Culpepper, man, he burst onto the scene at the same time as McNabb. He had a couple of spectacular seasons and fell off a cliff, right? And you had that happen a few times too. And just by virtue of, I can't really think of anybody that was heads and tails above him over that era outside of Brady and Manning. I'm kind of like that to me, that means something, right? Because who was the third guy in that thing? And don't say Eli Manning. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, hello. How could I forget about Big Ben? You got Big Ben, obviously. He's going. Eli's going.
Drew Brees?
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, Drew Brees. Okay.
He's pretty good.
Drew Brees, he was all right. You know, but he in his one Super Bowl. No, I'm joking. Drew Brees is, man, about as good as he can get. You got Phillip Rivers. Okay. So all those guys get in the Hall of Fame, right? All those guys get in the Hall of Fame. And I feel McNabb is kind of like right there, just at the bottom of that list, man. And I feel that the bottom of that list, it should get some consideration. You know, maybe you don't make it in, but you should get some consideration, man. It's like the Roger Craig thing, right? You talk about running backs of the 80s, and there were some great ones, and they're all in the Hall of Fame, and Roger Craig doesn't get in because he was a system guy, and it was the West Coast offense. But Roger Craig not being in the Hall of Fame, That hurts, man. Every year when it happens, I'm just like, oh, is this going to be the year? I know it's not going to be the year, but it's like, oh. RUC was the first guy to have a 1,000 season. You don't have Marshall Faulk without Roger Craig. You don't.
888-957-9570. As you mentioned, Shamar, we got Justin in Fairfax has been hanging on. Justin, thanks for listening. What's on your mind today, sir?
Thanks for taking my call. Real quick about the Justin Lance situation. You know, come on. We all know that the Shanahan offense is probably pretty hard to grasp. And I think Shanny's just setting him up to succeed. Think of how many quarterbacks had to sit back behind, you know, another quarterback and just learn from him. Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes. And so I think he's just setting him up to succeed. This is chess, not checkers. And I think we just got to be a little bit patient with him. You know, we've probably seen just a very small bit of our offense so far. Just like, you know, I don't know. I just think that everybody's jumping the gun with the Trey Lance situation. Just let him sit back and learn a little bit and then see what happens before we judge 2 games into the season.
I'll Thank you,
the,
Justin.
Answer off air. Thanks, guys.
All right, cool. Thank you. I agree with you, and I think there are a lot of people. And, you know, we all engage in the back and forth. That's part of just doing a show like this. But, yeah, I agree with you, and I think there are a lot of people who've been wondering and asking aloud, well, wait a minute, look at how much the other guys are playing, and they drafted this guy third, and he's not playing, so something's terribly wrong. Well, not necessarily. They didn't draft him so that he would be, you know, starting in week three necessarily. Now, if he never becomes a good quarterback, yeah, then there's a problem. But the season just started, and they're 2-0. I know Shamari would like to see him play more. A lot of people would. I think we're going to see him tonight. I do. I'm anxious to find out whether we do. But, yeah, I think Justin is right. It's a little too early to start wondering about, oh, my goodness, I guess Kyle doesn't know what he's doing. This kid is a bust.
I don't know. I haven't gone that far. I'm just saying it doesn't make sense. It's like, what are you doing? That's the thing. That's for every story about Zach Wilson and his rookie season, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields his debut. God, that was but Kyler was right though. There was a lot of bad offensive line play, man. You look at Justin Herbert, you look at Baker Mayfield, and you can't tell me that guys that the rookie seasons like the ones they had, that wouldn't jive on a team like the 49ers. Like a
well, it
good
just
team.
Depends on the guy, though, doesn't it? I think Kyler Murray. Kylan Mills.
Yeah.
Kylan Mills. She said, well, it depends on the guy. So I don't think Trey Lance is there right now, and that's fine. I mean, you can find examples of guys who weren't ready as rookies and more examples, especially recently, of guys who were. But that doesn't mean that, all right, well, it's proven any rookie can play, and it is a sophisticated offense. So, and by the way, I wasn't saying that you were one of those people that say,
oh, no,
Trey Lance is a bust. I know you weren't saying that. But I just think it's pretty apparent here that he's got time. Again, the thing is, they're 2-0. So if he's needed this time to acclimate and learn the system, this is a positive thing. As long as they're winning, they have all the time in the world to make sure that when he does start playing full time, he's the best Trey Lance he can be.
And I agree with you. Here's the first thing. Let me just tell you this, okay? Let's rewind back almost a decade, because why not? And when Kaepernick took over for Alex Smith, I'm like, Kaepernick needs to sit and learn. So I said this. People were like, why you hating on Kaepernick? He ran 80 yards yesterday. You're crazy, right? Because when I watched Kaepernick play, I saw a dude who was a runner who would pass the ball, right? I saw that. I've got to see Trey Lance, so I don't know what he is. But I kind of feel, based on the fact that he came from that pro-style system, he threw one interception in 17 college games. And then watching the way he attacks the field in the preseason. Again, it's a preseason. I didn't really see him run a whole lot in the preseason. I saw him as a passer, that his development as a passer the fastest way to develop him as a passer is for him to play. He's not a dude that's going to take off and run at the first sight of trouble, at least not in the preseason he wasn't. And I feel that right now, Jimmy Garoppolo is a better quarterback, right? In terms of a command of the offense and this and that and all the thing. I also feel that by season's end, should Trey Lance start, he would pick those things up and he would have succeeded I mean, he will have exceeded what Jimmy Garoppolo is by season's end if you can get him there and start. And that's the only reason why. And again, Shanahan knows what he's doing. I get this. He's Shanahan. I'm a guy sitting here in the studio with the FAUdo jersey on, okay? So
I didn't know that.
Different
wow.
lives. Yeah, hey, yeah. No, I'm rocking the FAU day today, baby. You know, I was feeling euphoric, man. No, right? I'm sitting here with the FAUdo jersey on talking about it. Shanahan's about to go coach the 49ers and he coaches the Super Bowl, right? So, okay, I get that. And he's probably right. But it just doesn't – it seems to me that Trey Lance, of all the rookie quarterbacks, is even though Mac Jones is starting and Zach Wilson starting and Trevor Lawrence and everybody else is starting, I kind of feel that Trey Lance was in the best situation to start – Trey Lance's situation – was better to walk into than any other rookie quarterback.
Yeah, but it was not an ideal situation for the team to play the rookie quarterback. You're right. He would have more chances to succeed on a good team than he would on a bad team. But the team's trying to win, so that it behooves the team to play the more experienced quarterback because they're trying to win games. I will say this, the scenario that you just described, where by the end of the year or so, Trey Lance is the better quarterback, I think the 49ers would love that. I know we were just talking before the break about the possibility of the 49ers maybe trying to create value for Garoppolo so they can get something back for him. That ain't happening because he's going to be with them this year. And then next year, given how much money he's going to be making, the 49ers, I think most likely they will release him. So if they're going to release him, given how much money he's going to make, and you're another team that's interested, you're not going to trade for him. You're going to sit back and wait for him to be released because it just doesn't make sense. So I don't think that's in the cards. We'll see, but I don't think that's part of the equation for the 49ers. They're not going to trade him this year. He's too important to what they're doing right now. But that's why they're not playing the rookie. Yeah, you're right, Shamari. Sure, it would be great, a great environment for a rookie to learn playing for a good team, but it wouldn't put the team in the best position to win games. Therefore, they're being patient with him. I do think we're going to see him tonight because I think you can run the ball against Green Bay. They've proven that in the past, and it's especially true this year. And I think given the issues they have at running back, I think we'll see Trey. I think he'll be running the ball. I think both of the Treys are going to have a big night. I'm hoping Trey Lance has a bigger night than Trey Sermon.
I do too, because like I said, man, I just let Trey Sermon go after two like weeks of with one carry in 2 weeks. I'm like, all right, they're down on this guy, and oh god, no, I hope Trey Sermon does awful.
He got
if
hammered
he does,
last week, by the way.
He did. Oh my god,
that was vicious. He got hit, and then he got folded over, and then he got hit again, and then he landed badly. So,
I mean, obviously, the players involved, they got fined. They should have been fined. They got penalized. They should have been penalized. But I don't think it was malicious, man. It was just a tough situation where the dude is in the air, and he's, like, flailing around, and you come across, and you catch his head. Oh, yeah. No, that's why kids never leave your feet, man. Stay on your feet. Keep your body low to the ground, man, and run through that contact. And do not launch yourself into the air because anything happens, man. You feel it. You know, it's one of those situations. I don't really think that the defenders, though, had any more ill intentions than they usually do, I'll say, I guess. You know, because you're trying to tackle somebody. You're not trying to do it nicely. You know?
Right. Well, you tell me. You played linebacker, right? So you tell me there are plays like that where and it happens occasionally in the NFL. It happens quite a bit, actually. It happens frequently. Where the player, defensively, you have to make a play. The only play that you can make is actually illegal by today's rules, right? I don't know what a defender is supposed to do sometimes, and I appreciate the importance of player safety, the importance of that to the players and also to the future of the game. But there are times when if I'm going to tackle you, my helmet is going to hit your helmet, or else I have to just say, ole, and let you go.
Man, my favorite one, and by favorite, I mean the most infuriating thing that happens, is the quarterback running up the sideline, acts like he's going to go out of bounds. So the defender pulls up, and then he turns on the Jets. That's the worst thing ever. Because, oh, man, you know, because, yeah. No, and the running back, the quarterback's a runner at that point. So it's not even because it's a quarterback, but a running back, people are going to, don't expect to run out of bounds. A quarterback, you do, man. That play, every time I see it happen, I'm just like, oh. Just take the penalty. He's already ran for 20 yards on you. What's another? Take the penalty, man. Because if you think about it, that extra 15 yards that he runs for after he makes that move, that's the same 15 yards you get if you go and you knock him out of bounds and make sure and you finish the play right, Whitey.
Mm-hmm. Shamari Block and me, Whitey Gleason, on 95.7 The Game. Let's get back to what this win would mean for the 49ers. And the Green Bay Packers, obviously, given their pedigree, you can never overlook them. We know that, although they have struggled against a healthy 49er teams of late. But, as you said, the 49ers, what are they right now? Okay, they beat the Lions. They suffered the injury to Verrett, and the Lions came back late last week. An ugly win, but a win. So what would this mean tonight? Back home, Sunday Night Football over Aaron Rodgers. What kind of statement would it make for the 49ers to win? Let's say they win decisively tonight.
I'm still gonna wonder, because that would mean the Packers are 1-2. So it's okay. Yeah. So far, you're 0-3 against a team that is a combined, what would that be, like 4-6 or something like that. I don't know. I'm not that great at math. Mm-hmm. But your overall opponent schedule is a losing record, including 2-1-2 teams that you got wins against, right? So I feel that the following 2 weeks, Seattle, Arizona, should you get to October 10th and you're 5-0 against Green Bay, Seattle, Arizona, Philly, and Detroit, then I say, okay, contender at that point. Anything else between them? Let's say it's 4-1. 4-1 could still be a contender, but you kind of don't know, right? 2-3, that would be the mark of doom, right? You're out of it. But I feel 5-0 at the end of week 5 says you're a contender. Anything else, you still kind of really don't know.
Because you haven't been impressed by the quality of the opponent to this point, including tonight. And again, I'm assuming they win. We'll see, of course. But even with a win, a decisive win over Green Bay, you would just be feeling, hey, I still need to see you do it against a better team. Fair enough.
Well, yeah, well, really just, I need this, because it also depends on how. I mean, let's say they go through these next games, 17-11 against the Eagles, right? Let's say tonight they win 19-14. And then next week they win, I don't know, 16-8.
Feels great, baby.
Right?
Feels great, baby.
Yeah. And then you're talking about the 2000 Ravens, right? And I don't know that I would feel great about that team, because there was only one 2000 Ravens, and the probability that gets repeated, I don't know, right? I would need to see some life in this offense. I need the defense to show something that is sustainable, right? So that is a pass rush and stopping the run. Like the pass rush, defensive line controls games. You know that could work. If you get corner play, as great as a cornerback can be, let's say that Josh Norman, he rolls it back to 2015, and he's Josh Norman when he was a shutdown guy and pulling dudes' chains off and doing all that stuff, right? Let's say we can get that Josh Norman back. I still don't know that a lockdown corner is as meaningful as a dominant pass rush. And the Niners build their roster with the idea that the pass rush is way more. So if I see over the next 5 weeks a defensive line that controls the game, an offensive line that can grind other opponents into the ground, and a semblance of a running game with, you know, with the 7th-string running back in there, then I feel pretty good. But if it's just like scraping by wins, and it's like, oh, we found a way to win this week. Well, when things matter, other teams can find ways to win, man. You need to have a recipe for your gumbo. And right now, I don't know what that is for the 49ers.
By the way, you got to put shrimp in your gumbo, right?
Oh, my God. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I know we were talking about barbecuing. Yeah, I mentioned earlier I barbecue shrimp, and Shamar's like, what? You can't do that. That's not a thing.
No, I just said anyway. I didn't know it. No. Oh, no. Hey, no. Shrimp and oysters, man, are at the top of my list of favorite things to grub down on, man. I just haven't thrown them on a barbecue. Funny enough, I have barbecued the oysters, though. You put the oysters on the half shell, you crack them open, you drop a little lemon in there, you fish them out in a little fork thing, man. There's nothing better.
All right. By the way, speaking of the cornerback situation, Emmanuel Mosley is starting tonight for the 49ers, so I think that's good news, assuming he's healthy. On the text line here, 888-957-9570, from the 415, Aaron will carve the Niners up like Thanksgiving turkey. I'm not sure which Aaron he means. Aaron Jones, maybe. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to have the chance, and that's no disrespect to the great Aaron Rodgers. I'm not a big fan. I think he's, for lack of a better term, kind of a whining sourpuss, and I don't think I'd want him on my team. But he's not going to have time to do anything tonight. Aaron Jones, though, I think, and I said this last week, and I think it ended up being true, the team that establishes the run first tonight and most consistently, I think, has a huge leg up in this game, Shamari.
What about the concept of Shanahan versus his disciples, man? Shanahan tends to own his disciples.
Ooh, good
and
point.
LaFleur yeah. is one of his disciples. The other thing is that this defense, and their defense too, obviously, but this defense gets to see the running game and the passing game all throughout training camp, and they're going to be very well prepared to face Aaron Rodgers. So long as you don't have turnovers, so long as you get some semblance of a running game, and so long as everybody's healthy, man, that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to score 40. But I also think he's going to score in the 20s somewhere. And the question is can this offense with 1.25 healthy running backs run the ball well enough to get over to get 28, right? Let's say Aaron Rodgers is going to put up 25. You need to get 28. Can you get 4 touchdowns, Jimmy and company? Can you? Because if you can, you win this game. If not, you lose. And if you lose... If you lose, it's not just Shamari Block. The Block isn't going to just be hot about this, okay? The whole Bay is. And when I do the post game tonight with Guru, okay, people are going to call in and have things to say, man. And fair or not, they're all going to fall on Jimmy Garoppolo's shoulders, right? All the vitriol. I mean, unless the defense just comes out and just blows it. Everybody's going to be like, and Jimmy G didn't make it happen.
Jimmy will get you what you want. You just got to go to Jimmy. D'Amico Ryan's just going to go to Jimmy and say, Jimmy, we're going to need like 35 tonight. Jimmy's like, you got it. Don't worry about that. Don't sweat
so wait,
that.
They said we only need 17, and he was like, oh, bro, of course.
Yeah, whatever you need. Yeah, I'm not going to do too much. Got to save our energy. All kidding aside, there's one reason I think why we haven't seen as much as Trey Lance as we thought we would, and I know it's only two games, But didn't we think we knew that we were going to see him in red zone situations? That was one of the things we thought we knew, right? Said, okay, the 49ers weren't great in red zone situations last year, so Trey Lance will be part of the red zone package. And he did throw a touchdown pass. But Jimmy and the offense have been playing well in red zone situations. I think this year, again, small sample size, but 4 for 4 in red zone trips this year, that is scoring touchdowns. So they haven't needed the red zone boost that I think they were hoping Trey Lance could give him. Doesn't mean we won't see it down the road, but so far, they just haven't needed it. He did convert, throw a touchdown pass, but Jimmy G actually has done a pretty good job so far on third downs and in the red zone, Shamari. And again, I'm not saying you're wrong about him or you're wrong about Trey Lance. I'm just saying, look at it. There hasn't been the need to have Trey Lance come in because so far, things in the red zone and on third down have been working pretty well.
Yeah, they have, and so far so good. They have a lot of third and shorts, though, man. 3rd and 7 or more, that's a whole different story. And I'm not even getting to 3rd and 10. And I don't care what you say, man. Yes, 3rd and 7 or more has a lower conversion rate, man. But last week, I watched Justin Herbert and Dak go at each other and complete a whole bunch of 3rd and 8s and 9s or whatever. And wow. with Jimmy on the thing, and it's 3rd and 7. You're like, well, all right, we're going to punt it and it's going to be okay. Defense is going to hold us down. Wait, 925, check it out. I know we're up against it. Whether you're a Raiders or a Niners fan, I think we can agree on one thing. F the Chiefs. That loss felt great, baby. What do you got? Are you happy to see the Chiefs go down today?
Yeah, I like the Chargers. By the way, real quick on you and Jimmy G, what's the movie Daniel Craig is a detective? Something about Knives Out or something like
Knives
that?
Knives Out. Anyway, yeah, great movie.
Yeah, okay. There's a character in the movie who, if she tells a lie, she throws up. And I think that's you with Jimmy G. I think if you say something nice about Jimmy, you throw up. And that's why you just can't you can't do it. I just gave you a layup with, you know, Jimmy G and red zones. Like, and you yeah, but I understand. I appreciate it on some level. It's just clinically, it's just interesting to watch unspool, Shamari.
Jimmy G does great charity work. Whitey, he does great charity work in the community.
Jimmy G's been good, but how can he be better? That's coming up. Telemundo's Carlos Ramirez has that and more when he joins us next. Shamari Block and Whitey Gleason, 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.